If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Paul Domowicz is ready to join us, so we'll bring him up now. Domo, welcome to the show, man. How you doing?
Good, guys. Apologize. I was a little late.
That's all right.
You're probably hungover from that great Sixers performance. I get it. The whole Delaware Valley's a little frustrated, but they get rookie camp, Domo. How exciting. What an exciting day to get the rookies and the undrafted guys, and they're bringing in John Ross. What is this, 2018? I don't know. Jakeem Grant's coming in. All this exciting Eagles rookie camp. What's your favorite moment of rookie camp? Everybody asked me that. I said seeing Paul Domowicz and everybody else. That's my most exciting moment. Not the players, not so much. Although, we didn't get to speak to Johnny Wilson and Anaya Smith after the draft, so a little bit interested in talking to those guys.
Yeah, and getting a chance to talk with undrafted free agents. Well,
we don't get that chance until training camp now. Because post-COVID, Domo, yeah, now they bring everybody up to the podium. And they ain't bringing undrafted guys up to the podium. It's awful.
You know, I'm not sorry I retired.
Yeah. I'm with you because to me, always the most interesting stories are the undrafted guys.
Yeah.
And you're not allowed to talk to them until you see them at training camp. And even then, you got to clear it with everybody from 16 levels of PR, I think, up to Jeffrey Lurie. Because God forbid if you get a quote from, I don't know, I'm trying to look at their undrafted class, by the way, is very small because they don't have a lot of spots. They have tremendous depth, and it's seven players deep, which Howie said is the smallest undrafted class he's had. Gabe Hall is the name I was searching for. He's a defensive tackle from Baylor. He's 6'6", which is kind of weird for a defensive tackle, and he's only 285, 290. So he should probably be an old school five technique in a 3-4 defense. But most people thought he would get drafted. So, yeah, he'd be a great story, but I guarantee you I can't talk to Gabe Hall today. It's depressing.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Something to look forward to when you get to training camp, John.
Well, yeah, there better be bigger stories than Gabe Hall at that point, unless the Eagles are in trouble. Yeah. But draft as a whole, Domo, we got you for Quinyon Mitchell, the first round pick last week. But Cooper DeJean trading up to 40. I don't know if you saw the Eagles unscripted show on social media, but they went in the war room. It was pretty interesting. They thought the Rams were trading up to 39 to get him. So they were kind of upset. Jeffrey was kind of upset. And then the Rams went with Brandon Fisk. And the Eagles were able to make the trade with Washington. But your thoughts on Cooper, Jalix Hunt, developmental prospect, and the day three picks.
Yeah. You know, I mean, over the years when Howie's made mistakes, I've been the first to jump on them. I mean, I think this, I look at this draft and look right now without knowing whether any of these guys are going to end up being unexpected busts. I like what he's done. I mean, I like the fact that he was aggressive at addressing the cornerback position in a draft that was deep in cornerbacks and a position, you know, they need to get younger and better at. I like the way he moved up and down the board, like the way he added picks for next year. There's not a lot to not like about it right now. I mean, obviously that could change. you know, if, you know, I mean, if we, you know, if we get 2 years down the road and Quinyon Mitchell isn't performing near as well as the guy they passed on.
From yeah, that's going to be bad. That's going to be because Terrion Arnold, well, I think he won 24. Two spots after Quinyon. We've been through that before. I mean, you know, Dama, Brian DeGraham had to hear about Earl Thomas and Jason Pierre-Paul for years until his career kind of took off.
Yeah.
And we obviously the most obvious recent example would be Jalen Reagor, Justin Jefferson.
Mm-hmm.
When somebody at the same position goes so closely after you, yeah, that's like a big spotlight. And we'll see if the Eagles are right. I would say Terrion Arnold, probably the safer pick from my perspective. But
yeah,
Nick Saban, you know, was what, who's he doing an analysis for? I think it was ABC. He said he was trying to get him to Alabama, so that's a positive. Was trying to get him to go to Alabama through the transfer portal. That kind of settled down any fears about Toledo and lack of competition.
Yeah, and you know, I've got to believe that Vic Fangio signed off on this, you know, looked at both of them hard, probably exhausted the tape study and you know, feels comfortable that, you know, that this kid's going to, you know, both these kids are going to thrive in his system. So, you know, I don't have a big problem with it. And I don't think Quinyon Mitchell is going to be Jalen Reagor, you know.
I wasn't trying to insinuate that, just the pressure
right
of the same position. If one guy, and by the way, Terrion Arnold's not going to be Justin Jefferson. I mean, that's very unlikely as well. So that's an extreme example, but yeah, there's tremendous pressure when it comes that close, at the same position.
Yeah,
on both players, really. Yeah.
Yeah, and more from the Philadelphia perspective than the Detroit perspective, because Detroit didn't have the luxury of picking between the two, right? I mean, we did, where we had – there was both on the board. We went one way. Dom, I want to ask you – we're going to get into, I'm sure, each player and stuff like that, but you've been covering the league for a long time. You're obviously a Hall of Fame selector, so you see guys that make it to the Hall of Fame, which is the pinnacle of this sport. Is there any attribute that you look for in a player – whether it be physical, whether it be mental, that stands out to you that you're like, that's an attribute I want in a player I'm drafting? It can be first round, it can be fourth round, fifth round. Is there anything that stands out to you when you're, I know you're probably not analyzing the draft as much as you used to, but anything that stands out to you that you look for in these players?
Well, I mean, I think intelligence is huge. You know, I mean, for a while there, the Eagles were getting overly obsessed with analytics and had some mistakes, the Davion Taylors, you know, because they were paying too much attention to 40 times and 10, you know, 10 times and things like that. Yeah, I want a smart guy. Probably would take a guy that has no interest in social media.
So that, but that, you know what? That's not a guarantee as well. You know, the old school, sometimes you need a you know what in the locker room, yeah. You know, if a guy's really talented. And by the way, I'm not AJ Brown's a great guy actually behind the scenes, but he's a guy who embraces social media, probably to his detriment at times. I'm taking him. I'll suffer through it. The occasional kerfuffle. In other words, talent does win out. I mean, you give me the most talented guy, Jalen Carter. This red star thing has become a thing with the Eagles because Howie let it out last year when he was talking about Sidney Brown. And this year he said there were 5 red star players. So what's our next question? Who are the red star players? And Howie didn't want to say it in public because he didn't want to downgrade the other guys who aren't red star players. And which is ironic because that unscripted show confirmed three of the Red Star players because it showed part of the Red Star meeting. And so it ended up at least some of them getting out there anyway. But I really don't think most fans know what Red Star players are. So they say, well, one of them has to be Quinyon Mitchell because he's a first round pick. No, that's the blue chip guys. That's the top guys. Red Star is that nebulous, great character, football, intelligence, everything you have to be what Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman says it means to be a Philadelphia Eagle. Work in the community, all that kind of good stuff, which is all good. And guys like Will Shipley, if you saw Will Shipley's interview, man, that kid's impressive, Damo. I said 1,000% he's a Red Star guy. And he was. Trot, Jeremiah Trotter Jr. was one. Trevor Keegan, team captain, national champions, he was one. All these high character guys. But give me the Jalen Carters, man. Jalen didn't get in trouble. He had that one kerfuffle at Target or whatever it was. He was fine, but he had some issues. Everybody knows there's a reason he went number 9 overall, not number 1 or number 2. But I still want that guy on my team, Damo. It's a very, I don't want all character guys, all, you know, church.
Yeah.
I need some guys who can just flat out play. And if they have some maybe blemishes, you got to live with it.
Yeah. You know, one thing I'm going to be interested to see guys this year with a player like Carter is, you know, they drafted him thinking, you know, we have the guys in the locker room that can handle him, that can keep him under control, that can motivate him. Excuse me. You know, two of those key guys are gone, Fletcher Cox and Kelsey. So I want to see what Jalen Carter does this year, essentially on his own. You know, he's entering his second year, probably thinks he's, you know, knows what he needs to do. You know, we're going to find out, you know, or maybe some other leaders will keep after him if he starts to slip, but, or as well as other guys. So that's one of the things I'm going to be interested in watching this year with him.
Yeah. I thought their thought process at least was sound and the unscripted that John mentioned. They did talk about, because some of those guys left, Kelsey and Cox, that's why I think they put a bigger emphasis on the Red Star players. Yeah. Yeah, this year, but not that I think a rookie's going to tell, you know, an older, better, more established player what to do, but the culture aspect of it, I think, works. But, Dom, I want to get your perspective on Cooper DeJean, obviously a guy that slipped and fell a little bit into the second round, how he played the board perfectly. He waited till 40, jumps up at the right time, and then you see a run on cornerbacks. But just your thoughts on that player and how you think he fits in Philly.
Well, I mean, if you're drawing up a guy that's, you know, perfect for the Fangio scheme, it's Cooper DeJean. Can play anywhere on that back end. You know, you can line him up outside. You can line him up in the slot. You can move him back to safety. So on paper, he looks perfect for Vic. We'll find out. I mean, comes from a good program. I mean, I'm going to be interested to see how both he, you know, and Mitchell fit in with Vic. I think that, you know, they need to get better on that back end. I mean, they gave up the second most touchdown passes in the league last year. I like DeJean. I think he's, like I said, I think he's perfect for Fangio.
Yeah, it's interesting to me from the perspective of Cooper, the versatility, Damo. And the Eagles did scout him as an outside corner, and somebody picked that up, and I said that, and I think people misunderstood what I'm trying. First of all, he played mainly outside corner at Iowa, and he also played what they call the cast position, where he moved all over the field, inside, outside, but to a much lesser extent. Mm-hmm. So from a scouting perspective, they were scouting him as an outside corner. Now, it's up to the coaches how they use him. And to me, if he wants to get on the field early, you're not playing outside corner, barring injury. That's going to be Slay. That's going to be Quinyon Mitchell. So he's got to play somewhere else. And that versatility sometimes can hurt a player, you know, because you can do so many different things as far as settling into one spot. To me, his best chance to get on the field is a nickel linebacker. And I think that helps the Eagles in two ways. One, it gets one of their linebackers off the field, and they're playing essentially big nickel with three safeties. And it gets Cooper in the lineup. Is that what you see him as, or do you see him as a potential outside corner once Slay retires?
I don't know. I mean, I want to see him play a little bit on the outside, but no, I think his long-term future probably is either in the slot or back at safety. I mean, I remember when Avonte Maddox was drafted and was playing, and you know, he had some of the skills to play on the outside, but he was just too small. I mean, you know, there was no way he was going to ever be an outside corner. So it meant he was, you know, but the slot right now is, you know, if they've got a lot of bodies there now. If Avonte Maddox stays healthy, they don't need Dejon to play inside. They, you know, will Isaiah Rogers pan out? We'll see. They got Tyler Hall. I mean, they've got a wealth of bodies there right now. Whether any of them are going to be the answer, we'll find out. I think right now, immediately, Dejon's future probably is, is that nickel linebacker. I think they'll play it a lot this year, assuming all these guys can tackle. And, you know, you don't need that linebacker on the field.
I keep waiting for somebody, Damo, to say, look, all right, they're just spiking the football in their face. They got 205-pound guys playing linebacker. Let's line up. Let's run the stinking football. One cut. Let's run these people over. Nobody does it.
Yeah.
I'm amazed. There was talk that Bill Belichick might do it. Now he's not coaching anymore. I get it's a smaller – like, I don't want to play that way. Jeffrey Lurie would fire everybody if he didn't play that way. You can't play that way consistently. But Nick says all the time, look, I'm going to do what I have to do to win a game.
Yeah.
And on a particular game, if I got Cooper DeJean playing linebacker from 60% of the snaps, I got to run the football, don't I? Or anybody just, all right, forget about it. That's the way we play now.
Yeah. It'll be interesting, but like you said, not too many teams are committed to that anymore. Everybody's taking the Andy Reid approach that you're winning this league by passing. Although Andy's done pretty good with Isaiah Pacheco.
Yeah, but it's time to get the world talking about Black-led brands. We all have our favorites, our ride or dies, and the ones we can count on to help us live out our best lives. But we can't keep them all to ourselves. So if you're feeling like Black Opal Beauty, tell somebody. If the lip bar gives you a lip for every drip, let them know. And if your hair is doing the do, shout that out too. Because one shout out leads to another, and almost half of Black-led brands are discovered by word of mouth. Join Walmart in shouting out your favorite Black-led products, creating a new world of choices at walmart.com/blackandunlimited.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.
Which is ironic, because he's a hard runner. He's a chain mover. He's not, you know, explosive. He's not the guy who's going to break off the 80-yard run. He's not Chris Johnson with the 4.24 speed. Yeah, it's ironic he landed with Andy, and they utilize him pretty well, especially in big spots. Maybe that's part of Andy's greatness. He was pulling the wool over our eyes. He'll use it if he can get it.
The Eagles, and I think this comes from Lurie, their whole strategy over the last 3, 4, 5 years has been, and you saw this 2 years ago when they averaged so many points in the first half, grab the lead, make the team you're playing play catch up, takes away the run. I mean, you know, for the previous couple of years, Eagles, you know, their defense was averaging the fewest rushing attempts in the league, I think, because teams just couldn't afford to play that game. They had to throw. And I think in an ideal situation, that's what they want this year too. So, you know, it kind of comes back to the offense as far as how you scheme your defense.
Is there more pressure on Jordan Davis than anybody else? Because I feel like he's the only run defender on the entire team. The linebackers aren't good. They're undersized. The real linebackers. And now if you add Trott, same thing, undersized. For those who don't know, he ain't his dad from a physical perspective. And 260-pound linebackers don't exist anymore. But one of the knocks and when he became a fifth-round pick was that he's undersized. And, you know, can he hold up? Yeah. N'Kobe Dean, obviously, same thing. Devin White, I don't know what to expect. I got some people, Damo, saying, this guy's great. That number five pedigree overall, that carries some weight because people are still talking about this guy like, oh, it's going to come this year with the Eagles. Bick's going to unlock something, which, by the way, if Bick unlocks something with Devin White, I'm going to be in Bick Fangio's corner because he's a freaking genius. Some people love him. Some people are like me. I've seen no evidence of it. Why does it turn on in year six? If I look at that draft and say, oof, they could have used something even more than offensive line, which was the biggest surprise. It would have been off-ball linebacker. And they didn't get it till the fifth round. That's a concern.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I'm a big fan of Vic's. I've known him a long time. And maybe I put too much pressure on him to look at this team and think that, you know, he's going to maximize a lot of these guys, including players like Devin White. You know, I mean, you look at White, he's an undisciplined, he's talented, but he's undisciplined, you know, benched last year. And you think that, okay, Vic's going to, like you just said, you know, Vic's going to get to turn him around, get the most out of him. You know, maybe that's not possible with everybody. I think, there are guys like Jordan Davis where he needs to. I mean, whatever it's going to take to get Davis and Carter to what they thought they were getting when they drafted them in the first round, they need to do, because, you know, in my mind, those two guys are the whole key to this defense this season.
And by the way, I agree with you on Vic. I think he's going to maximize the guys he has, and I think everybody's going to be better prepared. I think that, and I've already said, Xander can tell you, I've already said they're going to have a top 16 defense, so top half, which is going to be a massive improvement over last year. I think right away, just from his presence, they're going to be better prepared. They're going to understand their roles better. They're going to have better roles that fit their specific traits. I think all of that is going to happen. But I also think he can't turn water into wine. I mean, you know, I've seen this guy play for 5 years. Other than 3 games and the run to the Super Bowl, he's been terrible.
Yeah.
And his contract tells you all you need to know, I think.
I mean, he better get the most out of those two guys on the front, because Fletcher Cox is gone now, and I think the whole defense depends on that front. I mean, if they're not good, the defense isn't going to be good. So he better get the most out of those two first rounders.
Yeah, you got to build the foundation on Carter and Davis. The whole defense has got to be built on Carter and Davis. That I certainly agree with. At P Damo, make sure you follow Paul on X, Twitter. Does a tremendous job with us each week. Nobody knows more about the NFL. Nobody knows more about the history of the NFL. Vic Fangio. When did you meet Vic Fangio, Damo, to tell people? What year?
84.
Anyways, so that's the kind of info you're getting on Vic Fangio and his potential impact on this defense, which I think is going to be large. What the one thing, speaking of large, the one thing the Eagles didn't get in the draft that they thought they were going to get, and Howie admitted it, and it's rare when he admits these things, was an offensive lineman, because there were so many of them, and it just didn't work out for them.
Yeah.
And they went a different direction. And immediately after the draft, Damo, they bring in Mekhi Becton. Now, I think it's a worthy roll of the dice. I mean, number 11, speaking of Devin White, number 5, this is the number 11 overall pick. Obviously, he's got tremendous skill. He doesn't have to hit the ground running. Maybe Jeff Stoutland gets him. He's a good swing tackle. Who knows? Maybe he could be the heir apparent to Lane Johnson in a few years. But Jeff Mosher brought this up. What if they try him at right guard? He's 6'8". I don't know how Jalen's going to see any receivers between Mailata and Lane and Landon and Mekhi Becton. Yeah. There's going to be some problems with, just seeing receivers, especially Anaya Smith. Poor, how are you going to see Anaya Smith with those guys, with those trees?
And I don't think you are, John. That's what I think the answer is. I don't think you are.
Is it a possibility? I mean, Landon's 6'6", and he's a great guard. So what's the difference between 6'6" and 6'8"?
Yeah. I mean, it's an interesting possibility. I mean, I don't know what Tyler Steen is. I mean, we're going to find out. I mean, they seem, you know, they obviously are high on him. But I mean, if Becton can move inside, it's something to consider. But I have no idea whether he can do it or not.
Well, I don't think he's never done it.
And yeah, he's got long whole life. Yeah,
you know, he's got those long arms. Yeah. Obviously, he's going to get out leveraged. But if he can play, I mean, it seems pretty evident they're not sold on Tyler Steen, and they want competition. Now, I think it's more likely going to be Matt Hennessy if he's healthy.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't surprise me if Matt Hennessy's a day one starter. A lot of health issues, but he's healthy.
You know, with a lot of these guys like Hennessy, like Sidney Brown, we don't know where they are in their rehab right now. We don't know whether they're going to be ready in July, whether they're going to be ready in September. I mean, if Hennessy's ready to go, if he can, you know, if he participates in the spring mini camps, that's a good sign. I mean, and I think he will put pressure on Steen at right guard. Cause I mean, I like Hennessy. He started 17 and he gives them depth at tackle. He started
17. He was a good player in Atlanta until the injuries took over. Yeah. He was turning into a solid ascending player. And then it's just injuries. He could be this year's Justin Evans. Hopefully he holds up better, but everybody's like Justin Evans. And all of a sudden, Week 1 in New England starts, and he's your starting safety. Then he got hurt again.
Yeah.
But he won the job, and I think Matt Hennessy could be this year's Justin Evans. You're like, that guy. And all of a sudden, Week 1 shows up in Brazil. Hopefully he gets back from Brazil. Yeah. He might be your Week 1 starter.
That's always been Howie's approach to free agency with a lot of these guys. He knows he can get guys on one-year contracts at a lot less money. If, you know, guys with injury histories, guys coming off injuries like Hennessy, two things can happen. One is they stay healthy and you got yourself a hell of a player. The other is that the history of injuries continues they end up spending the year on IR and you're getting money for nothing.
Yeah. Damo, I'm going to switch gears here. The one controversial, not controversial, but the one that was debated was that third round pick where the Eagles went with edge rusher Jalix Hunt out of Houston Christian. Forget the evaluation of the player at this point. What'd you make of that decision to go with kind of a project type player? Eagles admitted he's not a guy you're going to get anything from in year one, at least, maybe not even until year three or four. What'd you make of that pick in round 3?
Well, I mean, I got some concerns, Xander, about their whole edge rushing situation because I don't know what they've gotten Nolan Smith. I mean, he was a developmental player last year, as it turns out.
Yeah.
I mean, what'd he play, like 170 snaps?
Yeah, man.
One sack. That can't happen this year. I mean, he's got to step up and be a big-time player. And so that's why I worry about taking a Hunt as a developmental player in the third round. Because basically you're saying, well, we're going to get enough from what we got that we don't need this guy to really do much in the first year. And I'm not sure they can say that. I mean, Brandon Graham's not going to give him anything this year, I don't think, except maybe 10, 11 snaps a game.
Give him energy, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I mean, he'll give him locker room leadership. Yeah. I mean, I'm glad he's there, but, I think it's going to be a genuine, depending on how some of these other guys do. You know, you wonder if he's going to be on the 48, on Sundays.
Yeah.
But, I mean, some of those edge rushers have to step up. Sweat has to play a lot better than he did second half of last year. And if that doesn't happen, they're going to say, maybe we should have gotten a guy with that third round, that maybe is more ready to play.
Yeah, and I think Nolan Smith is the biggest component there that you brought up that really hasn't been mentioned that much. But you're right. He was a first-round developmental guy. Got basically nothing out of him last year. So if he doesn't take a big step forward, they're looking at probably a significant decrease in productivity from the edge rushers.
Yeah, if him and Jordan and the two Jalen and Jordan don't ever pan out, that whole Georgia experiment's going to really go off the
face. Bryce Hopp, yeah, most of the Georgia guys have not worked out. Although I think Jordan gets too much, but I think he's a good player, just not a great player. And maybe most people were expecting a great player. But I do want to end it with Hall of Fame. And from this perspective, I always like to talk Hall of Fame with you, Damo. So last one for me. Jason Kelce, as you know, sixth-round pick, number 191 overall. Eagles draft Dylan McMahon, center, North Carolina State, sixth round, 190 overall. So that means he's going to the Hall of Fame too, right? Right, Thomas?
Absolutely. Another athletic.
Exactly. It's the same. Athleticism, undersized, smart guy, team captain. He's probably one of the other red stars. Yeah. Yeah. It's ironic. The Rams traded up where – The Eagles were concerned they were going to steal Cooper DeJean from them to get Braden Fisk. Is it Brandon or Braden Fisk? Either way, from Florida State. Undersized defensive tackle. That poor guy's going into the Rams, and they're saying, oh, we got to get an Aaron. I feel bad for him. Yeah. Yeah, I feel bad for Dylan McMahon. I hope nobody expects another Jason Kelce.
I hope so.
Paul Domowich, everybody, make sure you follow Damo on Twitter at P Damo and read all his work on the 33rd team. And in season, does great work on Jacob Sports as well. Damo, thanks for joining the show, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Damo.
That's Paul Damo joining us. Always good insight. Always good for a guy like me to talk to someone like you and Damo. I mean, I'm born 14 years after Damo's shaking hands with Vic Fangio. There's a lot for me to learn from a guy like that who's been covering the Eagles for a long time.
Vic's been around for a long time. That was the Philadelphia Star days. Philadelphia Stars, Damo's talking about with Vic Fangio. That's how long Vic's been around. He was a Philadelphia Stars coach.
So we'll see what he can do this year with the Eagles. Damo brought up a good point, John, with Nolan Smith. I'll tell you what. He better step up although I will say this about Bryce Huff,
Bryce Huff better be the real deal.
Yeah, he better be. But we did have Phil Simms on yesterday on the National Football Show with Dan Cilio, a good 45-minute segment with him. And he's very close, obviously, with the Jets at the Jets facility. He said Bryce Huff is tremendous. He spoke really highly of Bryce Huff and said, I think this is a pick you're gonna look back and say the Eagles did it again with that signing. So just one guy's opinion, obviously just an opinion, but I do think he's, a guy like that who's a renowned NFL player. I think it's speaking highly of Bryce is a good thing.
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously the Eagles think very highly of Bryce Huff. He certainly played well when the Jets played the Eagles last season. So He clearly has pass rushing skill and gifts, but it's never been the bigger concern. He's never been a full-time player. And by full-time, all edge rushers in today's world are rotational, but you want to get up to that 70, 75 range of being on the field, 75%. Can he make that jump? That's where you have to be concerned. Then as an undersized guy, and we had the same concerns with Hassan Reddick when he was coming in, can he hold up in run support? So that'll be a question mark as well. But as we talked about with Cooper DeJean potentially playing nickel linebacker, essentially less and less important, and it keeps going that way, to people putting bigger bodies out there to defend the run in the NFL, just the way it's going. Talked about the Sixers. I don't like it. I like old school. I'd rather have Wilt Chamberlain and pound it into the box all the time. Can't do it. Can't do it. You're going to lose. Margin of error is too small. They're hiking up threes. Jalen Brunson, back-to-back threes, Xander. Bang, bang. 6 points. Good luck. It means you got to be perfect hitting the blocks 3 consecutive times. No turnovers. Got to play a certain way to win consistently.
Shout out to James. We'll talk about this after the break about the Red Star players. They did confirm. Or is it 4 of them? I thought they confirmed 3 of them in the movie. But John, we were speculating 3. All week. We were speculating all week. So we'll talk a little bit about that when we come back. And then the next piece is to add. But, boy, we talk about that Georgia defense, those Georgia Bulldogs. A lot of this defense is hinging on those guys between Jalen and Jordan Davis, Nolan Smith, even got Keely Ringo on the back end. So we'll talk about all that coming up next on Burger 365. I want to thank everybody for joining in on the show. Everybody in the chat box, we appreciate you, Crawley and James and Daz. Make sure you guys like the show, as it's the number one thing you can do to help out our show and to help us reach more Eagles fans. And come on, everybody should be listening to Johnny Mac. So we appreciate you all tuning in. Make sure you stay tuned. Coming up in hour number 2 is Mark Farzetta. Stay tuned here on Birds 365.
At Nutrafol, we don't just help your hair, we help your body grow it. Because it's never just about your hair. It can be your job or your deodorant or your lunch or just normal life. That's why our whole body approach targets the key root causes of hair thinning. Discover your root causes and why we're the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com. These statements have not been approved by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Paid for by Nutraceutical Wellness, Inc.